possibly can so that you don't get any of the things that are floating around. Amen. So Acts 19, let me get my mic here. If I sound like I'm in a cave, that is allergies. I am not sick. That's just allergies. So I thought the rain would wash all the stuff out of the air, but evidently it did not wash it completely. So we should be good to go. Amen. All right, Acts 19. I'm going to try to tackle several more verses tonight. If you're at Acts 19, go ahead and stand with me. We're going to read verses 10 through 12. We'll just recap verse number 8 and 9. It's going to be pretty interesting here over the next several weeks dealing with the Acts of the Apostles, and in which we will look at an exorcist in this passage. And I'm going to take a brief spin, and we're going to be talking about demonology as well. Just because of exorcism being there, I think it behooves us to kind of look a little deeper into that subject matter, into demon world. How many of y'all believe that demons are real? Amen. They are very, very real. How many people do you think see demons? Many. Some people do see demons and some people don't. So they do manifest themselves to people, and some people see them and some people don't. Some people see the effects of them and some people don't. But demons are very, very much real, just as real as angels, just as real as heaven, and just as real as hell. Amen. So let's start reading in verse number 10. Matter of fact, verse number 9, I think we left off on verse 8, so let's go ahead and 8. 8 to 12, let's read those. Here we go. And he went into the synagogue and spake boldly for the space of 3 months, disputing and persuading the things concerning the kingdom of God. But when divers were hardened and believed not, but spake evil of that way before the multitude, he departed from them and separated the disciples, disputing daily in the school of one Tyrannus. And this continued by the space of 10 years. I'm sorry, 2 years. Amen. So that all they which dwelt in Asia heard the word of the Lord Jesus, both Jews and Greeks. And God wrought special miracles by the hands of Paul, so that from his body were brought unto the sick handkerchiefs or aprons, and the diseases departed from them, and the evil spirits went out of them. See a lot of exciting things happening here in these first several verses. We're going to discuss some of that here over the next several moments. Father, bless now the minutes that we have. God, help us to glean a couple blessings from your word tonight. Lord, as we approach that time, we're talking about demonology and things of that nature. I know Satan does not like to be exposed, and he will fight that time and that study, but I pray that your hand of mercy may be upon us and that your glory would shine through. We thank you for loving us. Meet our need tonight in Jesus' name. Amen. Amen. All right, you may be seated. Of course, Acts chapter 19, many different things have happened here that we saw so far. We saw the rebaptism going on there. We saw the speaking in tongues there. And now we see Paul in the synagogue. He's speaking boldly here, and we're going to see some things with that. And we talked about that last week, and we talked about the title to this was called Separating and Sowing, or Sowing and Separating, because Paul is going to sow some seeds down, and he's going to do some separating there. Verse 8, what we saw there was Paul going into the synagogue, and he said he was going to return there. He spoke boldly there. And we asked the question, why should he speak boldly there? And the simple reason was that Apollos was a very bold speaker, and he had persuaded people in regards to John the Baptist. And so Paul had to come back with the gospel of Jesus Christ and persuade the people very, very boldly, because that's what Apollos did. Now, let me ask you this. The Bible says down there that he spoke boldly for the space of 3 months. Why do you think he stayed there 3 months disputing, as it says there, and persuading them concerning the kingdom of God? Why would Paul go 3 months long? Jeremiah? They were stubborn. Amen. That could be the case. Amen. They could be stubborn. Why else do you think he took 3 long months there. I mean, that's a long time to be in one place preaching one subject when you're not the pastor there. I mean, he went into the synagogue there and is preaching. Anybody else? Why 3 months? Any idea? Why 3 months? Teresa?
Maybe
kind of
undoing some of the stuff that Apollos, you know, preaching different from what Apollos
preaching. Amen. Undoing some of the stuff that Apollos did. Because remember, Apollos was pretty convincing and he was pretty bold. And so Paul maybe had to go back in there and do it convincing these folks that Jesus Christ is the way. Anybody else? Any suggestions as to why you think he spent 3 months there? Any idea? Brother Reyes?
Maybe so that the message
could
really sink in.
Message could sink in. Amen. Could be. Amen. Let me give you this. Could it possibly be because Paul knows their type? Maybe Paul knows their type? You say, preacher, what do you mean? Go back over to Acts chapter number 9. I believe that he stayed there 3 months because Paul was really burdened for the Jewish people. Remember, he said, I have a desire that they would be saved in Romans. He said, my heart's desire and prayer for Israel is that they might be saved. And notice what it says in Acts chapter number 9. And Saul, of course, we know that's Paul, yet breathing out threatenings and slaughter against the disciples of the Lord, went unto the high priest, desired of him letters to Damascus, to the synagogues. Where's Paul preaching at right now? In the synagogue, that if he found any of this way, what is that way? Christ, whether they were men or women, he might bring them bound to Jerusalem. So Paul is just like they used to be. Don't you think Paul maybe has a soft spot in his heart for these people? Looking out at them, maybe he could see himself. And he says, man, I remember I sat where you sat. I was just like you guys. And so I think he took extra time to say, you know what? I've been there, done that. And you guys are on the wrong side. You need to be on this side. So he had to convince them. So another scripture here. Go over to Acts chapter 22. Acts chapter 22. And notice verse number 4. Paul again gets a chance to speak. And notice what he says in verse number 3. I am verily a man which am a Jew, born in Tarsus, a city in Cilicia, yet brought up in this city at the feet of Gamaliel, and taught according to the perfect manner of the law of the fathers, and was zealous toward God, as who? As ye all are this day. Notice this, and I persecuted this way unto death, binding and delivering unto prisons both men and women. And as also the high priest doth bear me witness, and all the estate of the elders, from whom also I received letters unto the brethren, and went to Damascus to bring them which were there bound unto Jerusalem for to be what? Punished. And so Paul is looking out at this group of Jews in the synagogue and saying, you know what? I remember I was just like you guys. Go over to Acts chapter 26. In Acts chapter 26, notice verse number 1. This is, of course, before Agrippa. And then Agrippa said unto Paul, thou art permitted to speak for thyself. Then Paul stretched forth the hand and answered for himself. I think myself happy, King Agrippa, because I shall answer for myself this day before thee, touching all the things whereof I am accused of the Jews. He goes down there to tell you how he was. Notice, drop down to verse number 5. Which knew me from the beginning, if they would testify that after the most straitest sect of our religion, I lived a Pharisee. Who is most of the guys that Paul is talking to right now? Religious people, Pharisees, Sadducees. Notice how he puts that same thing over in the book of Galatians. Go over to Galatians real quick. I say, preacher, what are you getting at? I'm getting at this. I believe that Paul spent 3 months there because he's burdened for these guys, because he sees himself in these Jews. Galatians chapter 1 and verse number 13. And notice what Paul says here. I'm sorry, Galatians 1:13. Looking at 3:13, that doesn't say what I want to say at all. Amen. 1:13, and he says, for ye have heard of my conversation in time past in the Jews' religion, how that beyond measure I what? Persecuted the church of God and did what? And wasted it. Paul said, I remember what I used to do, and I remember how I was. And that's the same way that you guys are. Go over one more area, 1 Timothy chapter 1 and verse 13. 1 Timothy chapter 1 and verse 13. So why is Paul spending many months with these guys? Well, first of all, they will let him. But second of all, I think because he's burdened for them, he remembers that he was just like that. Verse number 13, notice what it says in verse 13, who was before a blasphemer and a persecutor and injurious, but I obtained mercy because I did it ignorantly in unbelief. What does Paul say? You know, I remember what I used to be like and what I did. If I can give you some encouragement tonight, some of the people that we should be most patient with are people that used to be just like us. Just like us. Why? We know what they're going through. Whether they're religious, whether they believe that baptism saves, whether they believe in speaking in tongues saved, whether they are caught up in drugs or drinking or pornography, or whether they're liars or thieves. Some of the people that we should be most patient with are people that were just like us. You know, I really enjoy talking to people that are alcoholics. Why? I used to be one. I enjoy talking to people that smoke cigarettes. Why? I used to smoke cigarettes. I enjoy talking to people that are on drugs. Why? I can identify with them and say, you know what? I know exactly where you're coming from. I know what goes on in your mind. I know what goes on in your thought process. I know some of the things that make you want to drink and some of the things that make you want to do what you do. I understand where you're at. And so I'm very patient with them. Why? Somebody was patient with me. And somebody took time to talk to me. And so some of the people that we should be more patient with is those people that used to be just like us. How many of y'all came out of religion? You're in a church that was very religious and you weren't saved. Amen. We got to be patient with those people. And I believe Paul is taking some time with these guys over here in Acts chapter 19 because he says, you know what? I used to be just like you. And so when it comes to our witnessing and giving out the gospel, these people that are more like us, we understand them. We understand where they're coming from. Pastor White goes back to North Carolina. He understands where these folks are coming from. He knows they don't have the truth, but he knows that they need the truth. And they need to be reached with the gospel. Whether they're unbelievers, whether they're drinkers, whether they're cursing, whether they take the Lord's name in vain, whether they're tattooers, evolutionists, all that stuff. Ten Commandments saves. Good works saves. Be patient with them if that's the way you used to be. Why? You understand where they're at. You know what happens oftentimes? We're least patient with them. You know why we're least patient with them? We say, well, I came out of it. Why don't you? Then you got to ask yourself, how long did it take you to come out of it? How long did it take you to stop cursing, drinking, all these other things? How long did it take you to come out of that religious routine that you used to be in? How long did it take you? Was it just like that? You came out, you were a made again man? No, it took you some time to get rid of that stuff. And so we've got to be patient with these guys. And I believe that Paul here is looking at these folks and saying, you know what? As he stands up to preach to them month after month and week after week, I think he's looking at them from the perspective of, you know what? I used to be just like you. If it wasn't for the grace of God, I would still be just like you. Amen. Notice down here, he says down here in verse number 8, and he went into the synagogue and spake boldly for the space of 3 months, disputing and persuading the things concerning the kingdom of God. And we looked at those things last time about the kingdom of God. And we looked at Acts 14:22, where he says, confirming the souls of the disciples and exhorting them to continue in the faith that we must through much tribulation enter into the kingdom of God. Notice verse number 9 here. So Paul, 3 months is with them in verse number 9. But when divers were hardened and believed not. So after 3 months, they had enough. But spake evil of that way before the multitude, he departed from them and separated the disciples, disputing daily, and the school of one Tyrannus. Now, the gospel is going to harden some people's hearts. The word hardened there means to be stubborn. It means to harden like Pharaoh's heart was hardened, or like the children of Israel's heart was hardened in the wilderness. The gospel either softens or hardens people's hearts. Did you ever find that to be true? Amen. All the time that I was getting witnessed to, my heart got soft. And it got soft, and it got softer, and it got soft. It didn't get hard. You say, preacher, how do you know it got soft? I kept asking for the guy to come back and tell me some more. I kept saying, can you tell me some more? Can you tell me some more about this Bible, about this Jesus? How is it that you can make sense of all this stuff that I've got on my heart? And my heart began to get softer and softer until, guess what, until it got saved. But then there are other people that you witness to, and they get harder and harder and harder and harder, and they run from you. That's just the nature of the gospel. The same gospel that hardens softens. Amen. The same things that were done to Pharaoh softened the heart of the Jews. They said, man, our God is good. But it hardened Pharaoh's heart. Amen. So when you look at this, hardened means to become stubborn. And when received, the heart is softened. When the word is rejected, the heart is hardened. Amen. By the way, notice what it says here. It says in verse number 9, but when divers were hardened and believed not, but spake evil of that way before the multitude, he departed from them. Notice that. Who's the he?
Paul.
He departed from them. Who's the them? The unbelievers. And separated the disciples. Now, wait a minute. This is the very first time you find Paul separating himself and disciples from anybody. What normally happens? Leave somebody there, or normally he's kicked out, or normally he's run off. But normally, Paul does not pick up the disciples and move away. Remember, he got kicked out of synagogue in Corinth. What did he do? He went next door. This is the very first time you'll find in Paul's journeys that Paul separates himself from the unbelievers with the disciples. Now hear me. Let me ask you this question. Why do you think he did it? Why do you think he did it now and he never did it before? Anybody have a clue? Why do it now and you never did it before? No takers, Jeremiah? God's leading? Well, yeah, definitely God's leading, amen. But there's something specific in how the passage reads that'll give you the answer. Brother Reyes? Forced to make a choice? Yeah, he was forced to make a choice. But why was he forced to make this choice, Carlene?
Because she had already passed him, and he wanted to see if they would continue.
Okay, now this is true. This is true because that's why he took him to the side. But there's a greater reason that when I tell you, you're going to say, let me read it again to you. But when divers, that means anyone or someone or any persons, were hardened, that means they were stubborn, they believed not, but spake evil of that way before the multitude, he departed from them and separated disciples, disputing daily in the school of one Tyrannus. Why do you think he did it? Teresa?
I'm going to say he did it like a parent. I think he didn't want, he was going to say things to them that he didn't want the disciples to do.
Okay.
He separated himself so, you know, he can identify with them at the same time. Because, like what I do with Brittany, when something happened, I said, Brittany, you know, can you just, you know, go to the car or go with, you know, when I'm getting to be very voice, not voice, but when I'm going to give a person my opinion.
Mm-hmm.
Okay.
Okay. Now, Teresa's on the right track. Read it to you one more time. But when divers were hardened and believed not, but spake evil of that way before the multitude, he departed from them and separated the disciples, disputing daily in the school of one Tyrannus. The main, yeah, Jeremiah? Ah, he's got it. Notice what it says. But when divers were hardened and believed not, but spake evil of that way before the multitude, he departed from them and separated the disciples. In other words, they began to speak evil before the multitude. So there's Paul. Here's these divers that are hardened, that are stubborn. They are going before the multitude and giving their stubborn opinion. What are they trying to do? Sway the people. They're trying to sway the crowd. They're trying to get the crowd on their side. And it said, he didn't do anything until they spake before the multitude. So they got up there and said, well, Paul, I don't agree with that. And I don't like this. And I don't like this. And I don't like that. And these guys were speaking to the multitude of people trying to sway them. Now, they spoke evil before the multitude. Now, why did Paul depart from them when they spake evil before the multitude? Why would he do that? Just because they're speaking evil before the multitude. Exactly. So the multitude didn't turn and go with these guys, and the Christians go with them as well, and now he's lost everything that he had. And by the way, Paul is doing this because Paul has been here before. Go back to Acts chapter 14. Exactly. Exactly. I'm getting you guys away from this negative attitude of evil affectedness. Remember that message I preached? Go back to Acts 14. And notice what, and it came to pass in Iconium that they went both together into the synagogue of the Jews, and so spake that a great multitude, both of the Jews and also the Greeks, believed. But the unbelieving Jews stirred up who? The Gentiles, and made their minds what? Evil affected against the brethren. Come down to verse number 4. But the multitude of the city was what? Divided, in part held with who? The Jews, in part with who? The apostles. And when they were with an assault made of the Gentiles, both of the Gentiles and also the Jews, with their rulers to use them despitefully and to stone them, they were aware of it and fled unto Lystra. So Paul has been here before. He said, I remember this. I remember back in the last town, and these guys stood up there and did the same thing, and the evil affected the mind of the brethren. I'm going to get y'all out of here. All those that are believers that are, you say, let's get on out of here. And so Paul on purpose makes a decision so that these young Christians don't get evil affected. Why? These guys are speaking before the multitude. And it's easy to happen because these guys here are just speaking just as loud and just as strong as Paul is, but they're speaking negatively. Notice how it reads again. Verse 19, Acts 19, 9. But when divers were hardened, they're stubborn, and believed not, but spake evil of that way. They're saying, Paul, what you got going on is evil. Before the multitude, they're trying to sway everybody else. He, Paul, departed from them and separated the disciples. Paul said, you know what? As Mrs. White say, I'm going to be like a little mother. I'm taking my little chicks right on over here. And my chicks are going away from y'all because nothing good is going to come out of what y'all are saying. Nothing good. And by the way, sometimes you got to do that. Sometimes you got to do that. Sometimes those that are not going to believe, you got to separate yourself from those that aren't going to believe and say, you know what, let me get them away from that because they're not going to do you any good. And sometimes that has to happen. Amen. So this is the first time that Paul did that. He separated the disciples. He needed to get them away from the evil influences of unbelief. The word separated means to mark off boundaries from others. It means to set off by boundaries. It means to limit or exclude. It means to sever or to divide. Notice what Paul would tell Rome later on about this same issue. Go to Romans chapter 16. And verse 17, I preached a message out of this years ago. Romans 16 and verse 17, Pastor Ms. White, y'all probably remember that message I preached as well. Romans 16 and verse 17, notice what Paul tells Rome, the Christians at Rome, about this very same thing. He says, now I beseech you, brethren, mark them which cause what? Division, offenses contrary to what? The doctrine which ye have learned, and avoid them. He said, if they teach a different doctrine, mark them and avoid them. What are these guys teaching over there? That Paul is wrong and they're right. He said, look, mark them and avoid them. You got to get away from them. You got to separate those that don't believe the Bible the way you believe. He said, you got to mark them. And so he gave them that encouragement. Give you the positive side to that. Go to Philippians chapter 3 and verse 17. The positive side to that, Philippians 3 and verse number 17. And notice what Paul says here in 3:17. Uh-oh, that's my page that's ripped up. Pastor White, can you read 3:17? Okay, same word he used there. Over there he said, mark them and what? Avoid them. Here he says what? Mark them and what? And be followers. Mark them which so walk as you have us for an example. He said, now, follow those guys. Mark these guys as walking like we are. Follow them. Over there, he said, look, these guys got another doctrine. Mark them and avoid them. Amen. And so Paul here, speaking with wisdom by the Holy Spirit's power years ago, years down the line here, is doing the same thing. Go back to Acts chapter 19. And so the very first time in Paul's ministry that we see him on the road, he actually separates the disciples from everybody else. Amen. And notice what it said down at the end of verse number 9. Disputing daily in the school of one Tyrannus. That's an interesting name. Anybody know what the root word for Tyrannus is? What is it? It does mean king, but anybody know what the root word that we get from that?
Tyrant.
My soul. Paul, you left to go to a tyrant's house? Amen. Evidently, maybe he got saved. Amen. I don't know. But that's where they're at. They're at the tyrant's house. Amen. And so notice what it says down there. This continued by the space of 2 years so that all they which dwelt in Asia heard the word of the Lord Jesus, both Jews and Greeks. So after Paul separated from them to get these guys away that were hardened, get them away from that influence, to get them away from that negativity and that contrary spirit, he stayed there another 2 years after the 3 months there. And it says, in Asia heard the word of the Lord Jesus Christ, both Jews and Greeks. Did he make a good move? I think he made an excellent move. Had he stayed there, what do you think would have happened? Chapter 14, repeat. You know, sometimes, you know, we need to revisit the past and learn from the past so we don't make the same mistake in the future. And I think Paul here, by the Spirit of God, said, you know what? It's not going to be good for you, Paul, if you stay here. Take this group of believers and get them out of here. Protect them from these unbelievers because they're going to have a negative influence on them. You know, some people just got to get away from sometimes because they're going to have a negative influence on you. And you got to get away from them. If you're not strong enough spiritually to handle that, you just got to get away from them, amen? You just can't be around them because they're going to bring you down spiritually. They're not going to do you any good. And sometimes you just have to do that. When I first got saved, some of the guys I hung around with, I didn't have to separate from them. They separated from me. Well, I was telling them about Jesus. They didn't want to hear it. But sometimes you got certain people, you just got to get away. They're going to bring you down and you got to separate. Notice what he says down there in verse number 11. And God wrought special miracles by the hands of Paul. You don't find Paul doing a whole lot of miracles, but this time it says he did. Amen. After the fair chance was given to hear the word of God and all these people got the chance to hear the word of God there in verse number 10. Verse 11 says, now Paul, after that, got a chance to do some miracles. Now, by the way, how many of y'all hear a lot about Paul doing miracles in the Bible? You don't hear a lot about that, do you? But here it says Paul did some special miracles. There was a big trend in Ephesus with gods and false gods and worship in that realm. And so God enabled him to do some signs and some wonders here because they were big on the occult. And so God is going to authenticate his messenger and his message there. And by the way, notice what it says. Paul performed these special miracles of healing in this time frame that he was there at Ephesus when he was separated from the Jews. Verse number 11, God wrought special miracles. The word miracles means dunamis, the same word that we use for the Holy Spirit. It means force, miraculous power, or ability. Abundance or mighty, wonderful works. The same exact word that's used for the Holy Spirit is used for miracles here. And it says, God wrought special miracles by the hands of Paul. Now, we know that some healing was done here, but we don't know exactly what else was done. Notice over in Acts chapter number 8. Same thing happened in Acts chapter 8, but this time by the hand of Philip. Acts chapter number 8. Now, again, why were the miracles done here? Was it so they could just heal some people just to heal them? Why was the healings and miracles done? They might believe. To authenticate the messenger and the message so that people could believe. Acts chapter number 8 here down in Samaria. Notice the verse number 6. This is Philip preaching here in verse 5. Then Philip went down to the city of Samaria and preached Christ unto them. And the people with one accord gave heed unto those things which Philip spake, hearing and seeing the what? Miracles which he did. For what? For unclean spirits crying with loud voice came out of many that were possessed with them, and the many taken with the palsies and that were lame were healed. And so we see Philip doing the same thing that Paul did over there in Acts chapter number 19. Now, here's the million-dollar question. Why don't we have all the healings today like we had back then? We have the Bible. By the way, remember the Lazarus when he went to hell and he said, go and tell my brothers and sisters? And what was Abraham's reply? You ain't going to believe somebody from the dead. And let him listen to the prophets and let him listen to the witnesses back there. He said, if somebody came from the dead, he still wouldn't believe. But what did they tell Jesus? Come down from the cross and then we'll believe you. Mm-mm, it's not going to happen. The miracles were done so that they would believe the messenger, believe the message, and get saved. Now, Who did the spiritual gifts limit themselves to as far as healings were concerned? The apostles and the ones in the apostolic era. Philip is not an apostle, but you know what he is? He's a deacon. He was one of those that got his hands laid on by who? By the apostles, which means transfer of authority to Philip. So he has the power to do the signs and the wonders and the miracles. Now, give you just a simple context lesson here. No, I'm not going to even go into that. We ain't got time for that today. Amen. We'll pick up with this not next week, because we got a visiting preacher next week. Let me just give you this one area. Go to Hebrews chapter 2. And we're going to close with this. Hebrews chapter 2. The other area we'll save until next time, because we're going to be going into demonology anyway. Hebrews chapter number 2. Because this was left to the apostolic era. Hebrews chapter number 2. And notice what it says in verse number 1. Therefore, we ought to give the more earnest heed to the things which we have heard, lest at any time we should let them slip. For if the word spoken by angels was steadfast, and every transgression and disobedience received a just recompense of reward, how shall we escape if we neglect so great salvation? Notice this, which at first began to be spoken by who? The Lord, and was confirmed unto us by who? Them that heard him. Who is the them that heard him? The disciples, of course. God also bearing who? Them witness. Who's the them? The disciples or the apostles, both with what? Signs and wonders. And with what? Divers miracles. And what? And gifts of the Holy Ghost, according to what? His own will. So the Bible clearly tells you that Christ spoke it. He spoke it to those disciples, those apostles. They went out and manifested signs. Doesn't say anything about anybody else manifesting any signs, does it? No. Matter of fact, when we go back in Mark 16, look at the context there. We're going to look at that. And we're going to march right down there. And you're going to see the context is clearly there, that it's given to the disciples or the apostles and nobody else. The gifts and the miracles were there for a time frame only. And it was a transition so that they would believe the apostles. By the way, I'll give you this here. We'll talk about this a little bit next week. In the Bible, you're going to find that miracles were done in tandems. Who was the first tandem that did miracles? Moses and Joshua. Who's the next tandem that did miracles? Elijah and Elisha. Who's the next tandem that did miracles? Jesus and the apostles. You don't find miracles outside of that. Very rarely you got miracles like Daniel in the lion's den, but it's not a tandem. You find Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego, but it's not a tandem. You find the message in tandem because those were transitional periods. What is Acts? A transitional period. And so you find them coming out of the Exodus, going into the land of Canaan. Moses started it. Joshua finished it. You find the prophets there because they wouldn't listen to the word of God. And God said, I'm going to give you some prophets. You find Elijah and Elisha. You don't find many of the other prophets doing a whole lot of miracles. You don't find miracles again until Jesus and the apostles. And guess what? At the apostles, guess what you don't see? Miracles. They were all transitional periods that God used to speak to his people to get them to believe the messenger by seeing the sign so they would receive the message. Y'all saying, man, preacher, that's a lot of stuff. We'll talk about it a little bit more next time. Amen. But just wanted to give you that because people are big on, well, I want a miracle. I want to do these signs. I want to do. No, they're not for us. And we're going to look at that next time. And we'll go right into demonology after that by God's grace. That means if Carlene doesn't have too many questions. I mean, if we can get past that. Amen. Amen. All right. So everybody clear with those verses there, 8, 9, and 10, what's going on, why Paul did what he did. Sometimes it behooves us to separate ourselves from some people. Maybe you're witnessing to a colleague, and maybe it behooves you to witness to him away from that person. That's a heckler. That's an unbeliever, just so that you can get a clear witness in there. Amen. It may be possible to do something like that. Amen. So keep that in mind. Two things I want you to take home with you. Number one, be patient with those that you witness to that are like you. Don't give up on them so quick. Be patient with them. Then the second thing, sometimes you got to mark people and avoid them. Sometimes you got to do it. Sometimes you got to separate so you can get a good, fair witness into people. Amen. All right. Let's all stand to our feet. We're going to get dismissed in the word of prayer. Amen. And don't forget, soul winning this Saturday. Pray for those that are down. Pray for our tithing message series. And do trust that God's going to raise us back up to do His will for His honor and His glory. Amen. And don't worry about the things that I just said in the last 5 minutes, because you might scratch your head and say, Pastor, you know, what about that? We're going to come back to that. Amen. Pastor White, go ahead and dismiss us.